First, let me say that I am beyond grateful for the outpouring of human kindness, encouragement, generosity, altruism, and just plain goodwill that I've been privileged to be a part of since March 16th of this year, just 3 weeks ago, when I hatched my plan to volunteer my vacation time to the cause of flattening out the anxiety curve. On the morning of Monday, March 16th, I was fully intending to be relaxing on a sunny beach in Orange County, California, sipping a Corona, yes, pun intended, at the end of the week, spending the weekend with my sister and then heading up the coast to spend a few relaxing days sightseeing in San Francisco. By Monday afternoon, that hope was dashed. San Francisco had gone on lockdown and all bets were off. So for me, March 16th was ground zero, the beginning of this odyssey for me. That was the day it got real. Since then, I've had several hundred conversations with some of the world's finest people, the clients I have had the privilege of working with for almost 12 years now. So thank you to everyone who responded to my texts and reached back to start the conversation on flattening out the psychological curve and restoring hope and confidence. I am in awe of the strength of the human spirit in the face of uncertainty and the stoic insistence on getting through this together. In my previous post, back on the 26th of March, hoping for the best, I mentioned Brené Brown, who gave the infamous TEDx speech in Houston, The Power of Vulnerability. That speech has garnered just shy of 50 million views since she gave it in 2010. Her 20-minute speech literally changed her life forever. And I can certainly see why. She hit a home run, knocked it completely out of the park and into the bay. When you listen to the talk, it's no surprise that it went viral. Probably not the best metaphor to use at a time like this, but hey, if it fits, you know. Now, I've watched this talk at least a dozen times. And if you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend it. In fact, right below the link for this blog, I'm going to add a link to her talk just to make it easier for you to click and watch. It will be 20 minutes well spent. So why did her talk become the fifth most watched TED Talk of all time? Well, I've really never been able to find a good explanation out there on the internet that satisfies me, so here is my own. Brené is a great storyteller. She acknowledges this, in fact, at the beginning of her talk, and it's true. She tells a great story. But of course, many TED Talks tell great stories, right? There has to be more. Besides being a good storyteller, Brené is smart, sassy, and sexy. She's a woman's woman and a man's woman. Yeah, I gotta admit it, I kinda have a little crush on Brené. She brings the perfect blend of charisma, charm, wit, and humor to her narrative, and she displays the perfect blend of courage and humility, and I find courage and humility and confidence to be sexy. She talks about being the poster child for not wanting to be vulnerable, indicating that she is the worst example of doing what she's saying we all should do. But yet she says that while displaying the most extraordinary amount of courage by just being there on stage giving a TED Talk. And that really resonates with me because I gave a TED Talk back in 2012, 2 years after Brené did hers. Now, I personally think that any kind of a public presentation takes courage, but a TED Talk takes it to the next level. I've been giving presentations my entire career, and that TED Talk was by far the most intimidating. You're out there on stage, no podium, no notes, just you and the crowd, who have paid good money, by the way, to come and hear you give the best you've got. You only have a certain amount of time to give your talk, and the timer starts the minute you start. You can see it displayed at the back of the auditorium in big, bold numbers, counting down the seconds. And even though you've rehearsed it 100 times, it's different when it's game day. Managing that adrenaline rush is intense. The fear of going completely blank and looking like a complete fool looms large, let me tell you. In fact, to be completely transparent about it, when I was putting on the microphone backstage, on deck, next up, I remember clearly thinking, hey, there's the door. I could make a run for it and never look back. Fight or flight was hammering me hard. And by the way, If you're new to this page, you can hop on over to the home page on this website and click on the icon to view my TED Talk. It's not a million view talk by any means, but I'm pretty dang proud of it all the same. So back to Brené. Smart, sassy, sexy storyteller with big kahunas. Standing on the most vulnerable stage imaginable and telling you she struggles with vulnerability. Still, that wouldn't command 50 million views. The mother lode was to take this concept of vulnerability, something to be avoided at all costs, and frame it up as powerful and desirable, and to do so convincingly. Now that was the holy grail of her motivational rhetoric. And that she did superbly. If you walk away from that speech without being moved by what Brené has to say, you weren't listening or you're not human. She absolutely nails the concept in such a convincing fashion that you feel compelled to, well, run right out and get vulnerable. And she caps that whole thing off with her parting shot that we need to believe we are good enough. That was the anchor. In my 20 years of practice, I can say without hesitation that not being good enough ranks number one, heads and tails above all the rest, as the most widely held fear I see with my clients. And here is Brené convincingly encouraging listeners that by being vulnerable, that thing that most people avoid like the plague, you will once and for all learn to feel good enough. Her entire presentation is based on a paradox, really. It's akin to saying there is power in being weak. An interesting thing about Brené is that she freely admits that prior to this TED Talk, she had lived her professional life in relative obscurity. In her words, she could fill a room with rejection letters to her attempts to get her work published. In fact, she had to self-publish her first book, which likely would have gone nowhere had she not killed this TED Talk. Plain and simple, she killed it. She killed it. Now, I'm guessing that for many viewers, the idea that something so widely regarded as weakness, vulnerability, could somehow be a strength or maybe even an absolute necessity to live a life of connection, filled with love, joy, passion, and courage, was a novel concept. But for me, it was a refreshingly sassy and sexy way of saying something I had known since graduate school. One of my favorite professors, Dr. Bill Utesch, clearly outlined this principle when discussing the work of David Snarch, a psychologist who wrote Passionate Marriage and Constructing the Sexual Crucible, both of which were required reads. Dr. Utesch, who, by the way, would give Brené a run for her money in the storytelling department, was also really good at explaining difficult concepts. I still remember it like it was yesterday. Bill grabbing a piece of chalk, yeah, that dates me a bit, doesn't it? And drawing an illustration on the chalkboard showing the directly proportional relationship between vulnerability and intimacy. With his rather crude diagram, he effectively got the point across that keeping vulnerability low meant keeping intimacy low. They were tethered together. A major premise in Snarch's writings was this principle, that real intimacy required total and complete vulnerability. I remember back then thinking, man, what a mind-blowing concept. But like Brown, Utesch was a very convincing guy. Very believable, and like Brown, pretty down to earth and humble. He was always the first to stand up and admit that he had a hard time living out these principles himself. Although he wasn't fooling me, he had the biggest kahunas of anyone I've ever met. He wasn't scared of saying anything, and he certainly didn't kowtow to any kind of politically correct notion. He called it like he saw it, and most of the time he was spot on. I really, really, really want you to watch Brené's TED Talk because anything I say about it will not do justice to the masterpiece that it is. But here is the condensed version. Humans are wired for connection. Shame unravels connection. Connection requires vulnerability. You must believe you are worthy. You must have the courage to be imperfect. You must have compassion for self and others. You must be authentic. Vulnerability is necessary and beautiful. Vulnerability is the birthplace of joy and love. Being vulnerable is excruciatingly difficult to pull off, but so worth it. You must be vulnerable to have courage. Vulnerability is an intellectual endeavor, and courage is a teachable skill. That's it. So what does that have to do with the condition of the world in these challenging times due to the COVID-19 pandemic? Well, I hope you've figured it out by now. Vulnerable is what billions of people are feeling around the world right about now. A pretty appropriate time to bring up the discussion about vulnerability. And I'm not alone in that. Just one day after I mentioned Brené in my last blog, 60 Minutes did an interview with her regarding her work. I will also provide a link to that interview on this page. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to surmise that in a time like this, reframing vulnerability as the royal road to courage is a pretty welcomed bit of rhetoric. It was also a good way to introduce Brené's new podcast, Unlocking Us, Brené's response to the pandemic situation. Now, nobody came right out and said it, but if you watch the 60 Minutes clip, you will hear mention made of the fact that Brené gets north of $200,000 per presentation, depending on who she's talking to these days. Obviously, any live events she had in the pipeline are indefinitely on hold. So, just like the rest of America, she has pivoted quickly to setting up a podcast. Nice pivot, Brené. As if I couldn't have liked you any more than I already do.